Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On, and save $10 off your first order. I'm joined, as always, by Pete Zayas. Pete, after, what is it, 5 or 6 days, actually basically a full week of uproar over the murder of George Floyd, countless protests across the country, and, you know, what seemed to be legitimate process given the amount of participation by people of all colors in all this, we got Drew Brees to show his ass in front of everybody. Yeah. So what we're going to do today, we're going to, you know, LeBron, the reason we're talking about this for one thing is because, you know, it's just, we can't have the conversation we had yesterday, see that happen, and then not bring it up. But then also, you know, the Lakers got involved. LeBron James, obviously, is somebody who everybody is thinking about. But Jared Dudley also dunked on him. There's, you know, Drew Brees' mentions, I don't think, are too great this evening.
I mean, Jared Dudley can barely dunk. So him dunking on anyone
dunked on by Jared Dudley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then from there, we're going to segue awkwardly back over to basketball, where the NBA appears about ready to approve a 22-team format whenever they resume play in Orlando. So packed show today. Not enough time for our stupid hypothetical question. So did you see all this kind of take place in real time? Because I happened to be on TweetDeck as it was happening. When you saw first Drew Brees' thing, right? Because I had a back and forth with Bomani Jones about it briefly. When you saw that first, were you, you know, there was the disappointment. And then once LeBron got involved, where were you at?
So yeah, of course, I enjoy LeBron flexing on Drew Brees, right? Drew Brees is a massive star, but he's not LeBron James. Mm-hmm. In terms of the content of Drew Brees, these are the types of things that we need to address. We need to address these arguments. We need to break down, decompose these very poisonous perspectives that have set root within our society. His point being that Colin Kaepernick kneeling for the national anthem was disrespectful, mm-hmm. and to the flag, to soldiers, to fallen soldiers. It's a common trope in that mindset and mentality. And what I always think of with that is it's so me. There's no consideration. It's the whole idea we were talking yesterday of Black Lives Matter, right? Meaning Black lives are significant. They have significance. It's not a controversy. Like, this is we are talking very low bar. Like, the idea that Black Lives Matter and the fact that it's so hard to get people to accept that or is along the same lines of the Kaepernick protest of Drew Brees and people like Drew Brees imbue their own interpretation on what a guy like Kaepernick was doing. Mm-hmm. Kaepernick consulted with Nate Boyer, I think his name is, a former teammate of his, former Green Beret, about a way to do it as respectfully as possible to the military.
And the kneeling came from Boyer. That was his idea.
It was Boyer's idea, right? And so it speaks to the hijacking that goes on and the insistence to always make things about yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not about the military. It's not about the flag. It's not about any of that. He told you what he was protesting.
Right.
And he was very clear about that. And he took a knee, which taking a knee in a very different way with Derek Chauvin and George Floyd, that the whole idea of taking a knee is very symbolic on both ends of this perspective. And that, rather than listening to Kaepernick and hearing his grievances, they made it all about them and what they decided it was about. And it speaks to the level of unwillingness to listen at all. But now there's nationwide protests and riots and looting in some places. You motherfuckers listening now? Because if you don't listen, apparently if you don't, then people are going to, the crowd's growing every day.
Yeah.
Right. So, forgive me for taking it off of the LeBron end of things, but I think that like why Breeze is getting dunked on, I think it's important to kind of unpack the grotesque nature of just being constantly unwilling to listen and not really giving a shit about what the grievance is, which is like being brutalized by a system, you know, by a governmental system, and not being willing to listen to that. That's what's gross about it and why Breeze deserves to get dunked on by people like LeBron.
What I found interesting was that, this is probably going to go beyond the first segment, but what I found interesting was how usually with players of Breeze's stature, peers athletically will probably, you know, kind of maybe send a DM, you know, PR people will talk to PR people and be like, hey man, like, what are we doing here? I found it really interesting that LeBron James went out of his way to dunk on Drew Breeze, a player of that kind of stature, not just in terms of you know what he's achieved, but in terms of star and celebrity throughout the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. I found it really interesting that that didn't matter. And I think
other NFL players and former teammates of Breeze did that too, you know?
Yeah.
That's even more, like, these are guys that shared a locker room with him.
Well, I can't help but feel like once LeBron goes there, sure. You know, once LeBron, the loudest voice in any room that he's going to be in, right? Once LeBron goes there, that opens the floodgates. And you know what? Like, this is the reason I wanted to bring LeBron into this specifically, was because this to me is progress. Like,
yes,
you can't, we saw this with Grant Napier, right? Where somebody could be employed by the Kings for as long as he was. I think he was there for over 30 years, right? Or has been around the NBA for over 30 years now. And his racism was widely enough known to where when Boogie, you know, got him with the with the okie doke, you had a few former Kings and other people around the league like, yeah, we saw that coming because we all know about Grant, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think what I find interesting there was the Kings are going to say, look, we want to be activists and we want to take part in this activism, but we can't do that so long as we continue to employ somebody like Grant Napier that is known about. And I think here with LeBron, this is progress in the sense that, like, the time to just be cute and be cordial with people who hold such backwards views and who, like Drew Brees, has a giant platform. There are going to be a lot of people who feel comfortable agreeing with what Drew Brees was saying.
They feel validated in their own beliefs too, right?
Right. Yes, that's an even better word for it. Their backwards beliefs are now validated. They feel like, well, if he didn't learn, why should I have to learn right now? But LeBron stepping up, and then the continued outcry after LeBron stepped up is really interesting, and I think it's really productive. And like, one of the things that we talked about yesterday was how these conversations aren't easy. Like, yesterday's show, I slept for like 10 hours after we did that show.
Oh yeah, you know? I've been so exhausted. Mm-hmm. Yep.
but those conversations are not easy, but that doesn't mean that those feathers don't have to be ruffled, or that we can avoid ruffling those feathers. And even when it's uncomfortable with our friends, with our family, whatever, if you hear somebody who is intentionally here, because look, I don't think Drew Brees is a stupid person. So
neither do I.
At this point, it's intentional, right? You are avoiding the conversation. This is the same guy, by the way, who messed with Jimmy Graham's money back when Jimmy Graham was vying for more money by trying to slot himself as a wide receiver, not a tight end, even though he took more snaps than most tight ends at wide receiver. So Drew Brees, not being a dumb person, intentionally took the conversation to where it shouldn't go, right? And I think if you hear that, I think what LeBron James does is it sets a tone from here on out that if you hear somebody doing that, you call it out, no matter how uncomfortable it gets. Like, you got to be able to say, no, man, that's not what we're doing here. That's not what this conversation is about.
It's time right now for leaders in every aspect of society to step up and to speak. It's not just a matter of speaking up. It's the time to do it is now. There's not kicking this down the road. I had a conversation with a friend a couple of days ago where she was telling me about, hey, do you think my business in Manhattan Beach might be, you know, it might be threatened by the protests, the looting and the rioting and all that. And this is somebody who considers herself fairly liberal. And I was like, oh, the first time you care about this is when your shits are like,
yeah,
black people been screaming at the top of their lungs about this for decades.
Or literally not being able to speak because of this for decades.
Bro, right. Right. And like all of a sudden, oh, it's a threat to something direct to me. And now I care. Right. And we talked about it. She's a friend, right? Like I'm not, but I jumped on her a little bit about that. Like I confronted her about the idea and, you know, she's like, damn, like, yeah, that's true. And, that's something in all aspects of life. LeBron speaking up, people like you and I speaking up. You know, I've changed my avatar on Twitter as small of a gesture as that is, exactly once, and it was for this, to George Floyd's picture. I've felt compelled in whatever influence that I have to speak up and say it with my chest. Mm-hmm. That's the thing too, is all of these brands, including Lakers, being like, we stand against racism, and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, the weak ass brand.
There, man. That limb is.
I know. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like it's nothing, right? It's like, say it with your chest. That's the thing too, is that there's no more beating around the bush. And what you said too is about them like dancing around the point. The whole thing about making it about the Kaepernick kneeling and about the flag and soldiers. That's that too, right? That ability to not actually address what are people protesting.
Right.
And they are going to do everything they can to avoid it. And we need to call that out and wrangle them back in and be like, no, is this okay or not? If you got more tweets and more worry and complaints about the looting and the small bit of writing in their big and the freaking flag, then there is, if you're more outraged by that than by what happened to George Floyd or what happened, the brutalization of black people and of minorities in general, if you're more upset by that than that, like, no, I am going to fight you on that. I'm going to call you out on that. I'm going to speak my mind to wrangle you back in to force you to look at, hey, do you actually give a shit about the George Floyd thing?
Right.
Because everything that you say about, and all of your tweets about how much you care about the looting and how order and all of that, when it's a 10-to-1 ratio, or you barely mention George Floyd at all, or the only time you do is be like, well, what about this black cop that got killed in the line of action or thing? So you don't actually, no. You're distracting from all of that. Is police brutality a problem? Are you okay with this?
And we got to have this conversation. We aren't having that conversation.
We're having it right now.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we are going to we're going to talk about the 22-game seemingly resolution here to the hiatus. We are recording this Wednesday evening. So by the time you guys are listening to this, it might have been that they have actually voted this in, and we will get the final details on that. But as of what we know right now, we have a fairly clear picture of what basketball is actually going to look like whenever it resumes. So let's take a quick second, come back and talk about that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, save $10 off your first order. I told a story yesterday about how I left my wallet in Jen's car and left the car base in Jen's car. I got my wallet back, but didn't have the car base, so once again, I was just kind of stuck here at home. And, you know, I don't generally eat too much for breakfast anyway, and even lunch, like, it depends on how hungry I am. I ate protein bars for both of those meals and just kind of held on with a bag of chips also till Jen got home and we ate dinner, and was pretty comfortable for most of the day. That might not work for everybody, but it worked really well for me. And, you know, it also helped feeling like I was actually eating food because the bars taste so good. And then, you know, knowing in the back of my mind, mind, because I have been trying to kind of trim down a little bit, knowing in the back of my mind that this was also something that's good for me, just made the entire experience much better than it would have been, you know, back in the day before I had Built Bar bars to hold me over or actually take care of me. So head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, save $10 off your first order, and then spread the word. Tell your friends about Built Bar, send them over to BuiltBar.com, let them use the promo code, and tell more people about this really cool product that has really supported us, and it's really easy to support them given how great a product it is. Again, that's BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On. It was funny, not funny like ha-ha funny, but Jen and I, you know, we had the situation. Look, you, by this point, people know where I come from, right? I'm from Yorba Linda, California. It is where Richard Nixon was born. It is one of the most conservative cities in the entire nation. I was surrounded by white privilege. I myself, enjoyed plenty of white privilege. You know, Jen and I were having a conversation and she said, you know, how is it that you went about talking to your friends and family about these issues, right? If you disagreed with them, if you felt like their issues were backwards or whatever, how did you go about having that conversation? I said, Jen, it's not easy. You know, what it usually takes is ruffling some feathers and maybe not talking to some people for a little while until, you know, and the way that the conversation is had, right? Because as soon as somebody feels attacked, you know, if they say something truly awful, then they deserve to be attacked. But if, you know, how I've handled it is if I'm going to have that conversation, I try to find some form of common ground that we can stand on and then kind of negotiate to where I want to get to, right? And that's not for everybody. The situation has kind of gotten to a point where the way LeBron handled it is probably the right way at this point, right? Where, like, for example, if you're so concerned about the flag, if the colors red, white, and blue really mean that much to you, the thin blue line version of the flag that you see all over the place, right, that was brought about when Blue Lives Matter was a thing, that should probably piss you off, right? Because that is a desecration of the flag that is literally remaking it to something that it isn't, right? And you know, for if you're really that upset about, you know, the Star Spangled Banner or the tradition of for some reason singing it before a game, then other versions of this should have bothered you more to this point. And after that has since happened. And you know, Aaron Rodgers put it really well today when he said, it's never been about that. It's never been about the flag. It's never been about the troops. It's the same people who are pro troops are constantly going after their pensions, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you're really that upset about the flag, then your entire house should be a flag. Like, you know, and in which case there's no way to care that much about it. And, you know, Drew Brees said that he thinks about his family that served in the military and all that. There are people of color whose family served in the military too. My grandpa served at Pearl Harbor. He was there after the bombing, but he was there. He was half Spanish, you know, you know, when people of color came back from serving for their country and from the same situations that when they served alongside Drew's grandparents or whatever it was he was talking about, they came back to a very different country that Drew Brees' grandparents did. And for those people, the flag probably means a whole lot less, you know, or at least means something very different. And is something where, you know, the lives of those who look like them and their potential sons and daughters in the future, that means more to them than some piece of cloth that flies over all of the buildings that in our country. Mm-hmm. And you know, I watching that take place, it was you know it was a bummer on two fronts. It sucks because Drew Brees is somebody that a lot of people look up to, and we know that, you know, what this is going to mean for those people moving forward. But it also sucks because it was completely predictable. Just like it was predictable about how people were going to get more upset over the riots and the looting than they were about the George Floyd. It was predictable in the same way that once the protests became peaceful, nobody gave credit for the peacefulness and the placidity that came about after the riots and the protests stopped. It's not like those people who were up in arms about those protests all of a sudden quieted down and took the protests themselves at what they meant. They just found something else to move on to or continue to hold on to the riots from 48 hours prior. This is where we're at. Man, and this is why all this is going on. This is why there are protests throughout the entire country, and they aren't going to stop until people like Drew Brees either learn something or shut the fuck up.
There's a that quote from Maya Angelou: "When someone shows you who they are, believe them." Mm-hmm. And these people have shown us who they are over and over and over again. And it's time that we do believe them. And in everything that they say, implicitly, they would never say it explicitly, but every dance around the issue, every all lives matter, every blue lives matter is a different way of saying, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care that you're going through this, that you're
Blue Lives Matter. Through. I was a really big fan of Avatar, the movie with all the blue people. It might be a reference to that.
It's not,
okay.
You can't help yourself. Can you?
I can't do it.
Yeah, man,
you're absolutely right though. It's a few iterations of, I don't care. Please don't ruin my day. Please don't try to distract me from my life. I'm living my life and I don't want to have to care about people.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. All right. I lied. Our second segment continued to be on that same subject from the first one, but we are going to make it a shorter second segment here. And then we are going to talk about the NBA's plan here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Look, we've all had to go to whatever chain store that it is that we find our auto parts, and you stand there in front of the counter and it is the worst. While they basically Google your part, they go through their warehouse mainframe and find whatever it is they have on hand and can ship to the store in a decent enough amount of time. Why not just do that yourself? Order the part yourself. And Rock Auto makes that available for you. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Or sometimes parts that aren't even the same that don't necessarily fit your car the way that they should. Go to RockAuto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" for their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Write in "Locked On" with "How Did You Hear About Us." All right, so Shams Charania of The Athletic was the first to report it. I'm reading from ESPN because I don't have an Athletic.
I know someone who might be able to help you with future Athletic articles, dumbass. Jesus.
I mean, at this point, we're halfway there anyway. The running joke with like most of the people who also follow sports and know me know that I don't do enough reading So, yeah. Sorry, Athletic. All right. So, reading from ESPN here, from Woj, quote, the NBA's Board of Governors intends to approve a league proposal on a 22-team format to restart the season in Orlando, Florida, sources told ESPN. The conference call and vote is set for 12:30 p.m. Eastern time Thursday. So we're going to get a Friday news drop. Commissioner Adam Silver and the league's advisory slash finance committee have shared the broad details of a plan with teams to play at the Walt Disney World Resort, sources said. The plan includes 13 Western Conference teams and 9 Eastern Conference teams, 8 regular season games, a possible playoff tournament for the 8th seed, and then the playoffs, those sources said. The top 16 teams in the Eastern and Western Conferences will be joined by teams currently within 6 games of 8th place in the two conferences, New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington. The playoff tournament will include numbers 8 and 9 teams if the 9th seed finishes the regular season within 4 games of the 8th. In that case, the number 8 seed enters a double elimination tournament and the number 9 seed a single elimination tournament, those sources said. Teams will begin training at the team sites in July and advance to full training camps in Orlando later that month. That's a lot of reading, sorry. But, you know, basically where we're at is the NBA is trying to, you know, get as much revenue from these games as they possibly can. So they did what they had to keep Zion in it. The San Antonio Spurs are a half game behind them. So I figured they, you know, I would imagine they just said, hey, we'll just make it an easy 4 games to keep those guys in it as well. And I believe as things stand right now, Memphis has a 3.5 game lead on the 9th mm-hmm. seed. So basically, if any of those teams gain any ground on Memphis, there will be a play-in tournament, and the Lakers will wait to see whoever they face there. They haven't, I don't believe, made any announcements about how the teams will be seeded once the playoff field is set. I think we're probably going to get that amount of information tomorrow. But that plan right now, how does it feel to you?
So far, so good. I think that they're on the right track. I wanted the 8th seed to definitely get an advantage in terms of, mm-hmm. you know, we've played most of the season. They should be afforded an advantage. I think 4 games is probably a little on the generous side. It's tough to make up that much ground in the amount of time, even if we went to the full
82. Especially if you're the Washington Wizards.
Sure. But that's fine. That's fine. If you want to do that, I like the idea of there being 8 games. It begs some questions that maybe we can get onto tomorrow's show on how the Lakers should handle those 8 games. I'd love to talk about that with you.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it's a good, you know, a good amount of time to get everybody up and going. It doesn't give the lower ranked teams some advantage from the perspective of them getting more run aside from the play-in tournament. That 8th seed, right? They single elimination for them, double elimination for them, single elimination for the 9th seed. I like it. I still think they've got some ironing out to do on how to give teams that would have had home court advantage a benefit that they will not enjoy, considering that, you know, there won't be any home games. Most of the ideas I've seen have been kind of on the crazier side along those lines. But what's your first takeaway regarding this proposal?
Well, I think they're doing what they have to do to get as much revenue out of this as they can. It's a business at the end of the day, you know, and Zion generates a ton of revenue. And frankly, I understand why the NBA is like, no, man, we've built a huge chunk of our schedule around having this guy available. We are going to get something in return for that. So I kind of understand where they were coming from there. I'm a little nervous about, you know, giving him a 4-month gap, you know, before that, you know, given the kind of things that availed him in the past. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's fine. I think I've reached a point now where it's just like, give me the details when they're all here. But at the end of the day, all I care about is basketball. Like, just give me basketball. That's kind of where I'm at. We did get some levity here, though. I'm just going to read, for those teams left out of the playoffs, including Atlanta, Cleveland, Charlotte, and Detroit, there has already been dialogue with the team urging, among the eight teams left out of the Orlando format, several are disappointed and concerned about how a 9-month window between NBA games affects their teams competitively and financially. And then, you know, like I said, Atlanta, Cleveland, Charlotte, Detroit have been urging mandatory summer training camps and regional fall leagues that could bridge the lengthy gap between seasons. Those are ideas many teams consider vital. And there is expectation that the NBA will raise possible scenarios such as these with the players' union. That's kind of interesting. The levity that I was looking for there was that Michael Jordan apparently is sick of watching his Charlotte Hornets play basketball. he was one of the owners who were vocal about, hey, no, we're cool with them staying home. You know, we got to be safe here. I found that. I got a nice chuckle out of that. But the fall
leagues... That's that all-time competitiveness showing its head again from MJ. Sorry, I hate that. I hate that crap.
Somebody needs to tell Michael that he can gamble on those games. And then I think, you know, his competitive juices can get flowing again. I think all in all, look, there's no way to do this and be as safe as you can possibly be, appease all of the teams in terms of fairness, and squeeze every, you know, penny that they were going to lose out of it. So they found something that checked as many of the boxes as they could from each of the involved parties. And frankly, I think this is about as good as they could have possibly done. We're going to get more details, yeah. I think, about, you know, the reseeding and is there going to be any kind of group play? I think if there was going to be any kind of group play, we would have heard about that today and found out that they were going to vote on that tomorrow. So I think that idea is probably kind of out the window at this point. But yeah, I this was an insanely difficult thing to do. And, you know, I think the NBA has handled this really smartly, both in terms of the amount of dialogue that they've had internally, but also the way that dialogue has made it out to its way out to the public. And, you know, they've also benefited from Major League Baseball screwing up the situation so adamantly that no matter what the NBA did here, they were going to look like geniuses. So yeah, I don't really have any complaints as of yet. I just want basketball. It's hard for me to complain.
Sure. Well, I think that just the process of how they did it, they seemed to listen to everybody and everybody had different agendas. And I don't think they're done yet, but it seems to, like you said, be a nice compromise for all of the different factions that were politicking for what they wanted. I think that for the most part, I think this works out. And from a player health standpoint, beyond COVID, right? But in terms of getting ready for the playoffs and getting ready, having enough time, it's, you know, I'd love there to be 10 to 12 games, but 8 games is reasonable. I think they did a nice job here.
Yeah. Just to put a bow on all of this in terms of the protocol to keep everybody safe, the NBA and National Basketball Players Association are negotiating details of the return to play safety protocols in competition. Life in the NBA bubble will be governed by a set of safety protocols. While players and coaches will be allowed to golf or eat at outdoor restaurants, they will also need to maintain social distancing, sources told Ramona Shelburne. The NBA is planning to have uniform daily testing for the coronavirus within the Disney campus environment, sources told ESPN. ESPN is owned by the Walt Disney Company. If a player tests positive for that, ESPN is owned by the Walt Disney Company. It's supposed to go at the bottom of the thing, but whatever. If a player tests positive for the virus, the league's intent would be to remove that player from the team to quarantine and treat individually and continue to test the other team members as they play on. Employees at the Disney Resort will have to maintain similar protocols. For example, no staff will be allowed into players' rooms and hallways will be carefully managed to avoid crowding. There's a lot of buzzwords in there, right? Safety protocols, social distancing, stuff like that. You know, things that sound good, but we don't really know what they mean as of yet. But you know, I think the most important thing to take from all of that is that it's still an ongoing negotiation, right? And they're going to vote to actually whether or not they're going to come back tomorrow, right? And then after they have that vote, that conversation, that negotiation is going to continue further. And we'll get more details on that front as well. So as of right now, as we sit here recording on June 3rd, I think this is about as much as we could have possibly hoped for. And the fact that we are actually looks like getting basketball back, that's more than we can say for Major League Baseball. So I'm pretty damn thankful on that front.
Yeah, no, it's they seem to be so far so good.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast, brought to you again by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On to save $10 off your first order there. Pete and I will be back tomorrow, probably to get a little bit more into some of the wrinkles in this after the vote, I would imagine. And then also to talk about how the Lakers are going to handle. This is slightly different, right? Because the other six teams are going to know who they're playing as they head into the playoffs, whereas the Lakers are going to find out potentially like right before the playoffs. So scouting is a little different. So we'll probably talk about that, what we want to see from the Lakers in those eight games.
I have a point of clarification. I'm sorry, right, as we're wrapping up the show. So the seeds can't change 1 through 7?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they can. I'm sure they can.
Right? Like, you'd figure that, because some teams are tied at,
yeah,
I think Houston and Utah are tied for the 4 and 5 seed, right? So it should be, those are going to count toward the standing. So those could still move too, right? So not everybody's locked in.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I meant more from the standpoint of like the play, the once, if we get a play-in tournament, everybody else's seeds are going to be figured out. Right. But as that play-in tournament is going on, the Lakers, and maybe that means the Lakers get an extra couple games to scout those teams, which, you know, is beneficial too. But yeah, this is the kind of conversation we're going to have tomorrow when we get more into the weeds as far as what the NBA returning means in general, and then as well as, you know, specifically for the Lakers. So have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Stay safe out there. I'll talk to you tomorrow.